Amen. Trying to get this knot in my chest to act right this morning after my little videographer. I hope you don't do that to folks. I didn't even put two and two together when I started mentioning the videographer. But, yeah. I mentioned to the soundboard to see if you can find our name anywhere to see if he's posting, what's he trying to do. And seems he has a YouTube channel and he goes to the police departments. You've seen him, haven't you seen these guys? They post what they want to do and they try and get a provocation. Ain't got nothing better to do. Probably doesn't have a job, trying to be a social media influencer, and he's not doing much influencing, I don't think. So, Matthew chapter 4, I want to read a little bit of scripture. I already know this is going to turn into a series. It just seems like they all turn into series anymore. But be encouraged, the Bible's a series. All right, is that fair enough? Matthew chapter 4, you're probably familiar with this. As I was sitting on the pew, I was looking at things. There's 19 references alone, just in this chapter, to locations, places in the Bible. I thought that was very unique based upon the passage I'm going to be using and the direction I'm going to be going. But Matthew chapter 4, Luke chapter 4 are both references to the Lord Jesus Christ. The first time you hear of him actually as an adult, that is, and he's taken into the wilderness and tempted the devil. We also see the MO, police term, modus operandi of the devil. You see him first mentioned in the garden in Genesis. We find out who he is, what he does, how he operates. You fast forward in the New Testament, first time you see him referenced in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 4, Luke chapter 4, Jesus is taken into the wilderness. And I want to see if we can pull something out of there to help us this morning. Chapter 4, verse 1. The Bible says, then was Jesus led. All of these words are important when you think of the direction, no pun intended, that I'm heading this morning. Now, the soundboard's probably the only one that knows what I'm talking about based upon the title of my message. The Bible says, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into, here's our first reference, first place, first location, the wilderness, to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. When the tempter came to him, he said, the tempter to the Lord Jesus Christ, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it's always a blessing when you use scripture when you're talking to the devil. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the, here's the next location, holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written. Now the devil's quoting scripture to him. Isn't that amazing? For it is written, he shall give his angels, he misquotes it, but he still tries, gives his best attempt at it. He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. He's questioning. Doesn't the devil do that to us sometimes? Questioning whether God's seeing what's taking place? Does God really care? Is God going to take care of me when a situation takes place? That's why the Bible says that he was, we have not an high priest that was not touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Don't ever think that you've encountered something that Jesus himself hasn't already gone through. And we read of it here in John chapter, or Matthew chapter 4. Jesus saith unto him, verse 7, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, all the places. I'm going to show them all to you, and the glory of them. And there's many places out there, if you think about it. I don't know if you, you know, if you've traveled much or you look around. There, this world, can I just use this terminology? This world's beautiful. I mean, we lived in Africa for 10 years. I was just talking to somebody the other day about that, and they said, oh, how's that? You know, you say Africa, and immediately somebody thinks, you know, our whole family had, you know, loincloths on. We were walking around as missionaries with spears in our hands or something. My sister asked me one time, do you ever see, like, lions and giraffes and stuff come into your backyard? And I'm going, what? You've been watching National Geographic too much, man. But, you know, you man, the looks on y'all's face when I said that. Is everybody okay this morning? But they were asking me, how was that? It was unique, to say the least. It was unique. And he tells them, I want to show you all the kingdom of the world. There's some beautiful places out there. I mean, computers come with screensavers sometimes. You ever seen some? I know they what do you call them? What's those things you ladies use for when you post pictures on social media? Filters. I know they filter those pictures up and everything. That went over real good. Is everybody okay this morning? Y'all know you use filters. Videographer, do you use filters? Something similar. There you go. All right. Finally got somebody on the same sheet of music as me. But he takes them and he lets them see everywhere. All, he says, all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold angels. Now I'm not going to stop and pause at each one of these, but see if you can recognize them yourself. There's 19 references. We've looked at two. Verse 11, then the devil leaveth him, and behold angels came and ministered unto him. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum. And it's just one right after the other. Which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. So prophecy, we're seeing the prophet spoke of these things, of these locations. He's saying these locations and this person that's traveling in this journey, if you will, he's going to these locations. By the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, now, can you imagine, fast forward, many messages and who knows how many years, now all of a sudden we're at the judgment seat of Christ, or for some at the great white throne of judgment, and Jesus passed through those areas. I mean, you're going to do a revival crusade, if you will, in a certain location. I think, as I read the Facebook post last week or something, it referenced the last time one was up here, or one was even close to it. Was that right? Am I looking at the right website? They referenced Billy Graham and the Crusades and so on and so forth, and there hasn't been one for such and such a time. But imagine, fast forward, judgment seat of Christ, great white throne of judgment, whichever one, and you were in that city. I'm not a big fan of Billy Graham, but I remember as a young boy watching, and my stepfather would switch that. I believe there was gospel in that. I'm not splitting hairs with him over those kind of things. There were some practices that I wasn't a big fan of, but missed that opportunity. Now imagine Jesus coming through these areas with truth, and you lived in those areas and you didn't receive it. Let's try and wrap it all together. Truth's here this morning, but somebody so chasing after something else misses truth. Can you imagine, fast forward, videographer, truth's here today, but you're looking for a different truth. You see what I'm saying? So he says that it might be, verse 14, fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light. A church, as a missionary, churches planted somewhere are to be light for those that live in darkness. I believe this thoroughly. Brother O'Malley and I were talking about it yesterday. He made a statement. He says, since you've been there, you've not built buildings, you've built people. The New Testament church is not a building. The New Testament church is people, but people live in a location. And every city ought to have at least one gospel preaching, New Testament church. Now you fast forward, and these people that lived in this city and Jesus came through, they didn't want nothing to do with it. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. But here's the thing about it. Men love darkness rather than light. Why? John said, because their deeds are evil. Verse 17, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent for the kingdom of heaven. Now I haven't circled the kingdom of heaven as a location, but it is. It is. It's not a location referenced where he's walking now. It will be some future event. Verse 17, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me. So now Jesus is on, and I'm laying the foundation for the message. Jesus is on this journey, if you will. He's going to specific locations, if you will, that are prophesied by Isaiah the prophet, that there's darkness there and he needed to bring light to those places. Now he grabs Andrew and Peter and he says, follow me. Guess what? Andrew and Peter are supposed to take the path that we'll follow you, but we'll... Who was it that said they followed but from a far off? We're supposed... I think it's Psalm 37, verse 23, the Bible says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Now that's not gender specific. That's woe man and man. It applies to both of us, but they're ordered by the Lord. If I'm a believer, my steps are ordered today. I need to stay in tune with God to find out where those steps are going to take me. As I said to somebody down in the foyer earlier when I was sitting in my office and heard that woman screaming, pulling her hair and everything else, and someone said to me, well, they walked by, they passed by, and I said, yeah, but we're light in this community. We can go out and ask her, what's troubling you? What's bothering you? How can we help you? We're light here. Was my steps ordered today? Now, by the time I got out there, she was already way down there. I could have followed her, but nonetheless, the point I'm trying to make is we're a light in darkness. Where do our steps? If you're a Bible-believing Christian, your steps ought to take you to church. You know, if I'm going to be, what was his mom and dad? Remember when Jesus, they forgot him? And they came back to get him and they were fussing with him and everything else. And he said, you must have known I must be about my... And his father's business was that day at that place. Now he encounters Andrew and Peter and he says, follow me. Now, following Jesus means you're going to go where he goes. You know, we all love that little... And I did it. I'm going to reveal a character about me that you've probably never heard of. I have a little Rosie Greer in me for you old-time NFL people. I used to. I don't much anymore. Needlepoint. I can't, Pastor? You can't. My grandfather taught me to crochet. He was recovering from an injury as a police officer. And then I took up needlepoint and I made our family a needlepoint. You remember the one where you see the two steps in the sand? And then all of a sudden it turns into one step and the whole little thing. We put the kids' little footprints on either side of the border around the outside and the person gets, I don't know how the whole story goes, they get to heaven and they say, oh, there's two sets of footprints, and during my most difficult times, I only saw one set of footprints, and the Lord responds back. No scripture involved in this whatsoever, but there is a truth to it anyways. And he says, well, during those times, I carried you. Andrew and Peter are going to go through some difficult times. If they're not walking in the steps of Jesus, guess what they miss? Peter was the one, did not Peter say, casting all thy cares upon him. It's kind of hard to cast cares on somebody when you were nowhere near him. Verse 19, and he saith unto them, follow me. That means you're going to follow me on the journey I'm taking, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And there's so much there. Verse 21, and going from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. So now we at least have four that are following Jesus, and if we look at what we've already read, man, he's covering some territory. I mean, he's getting it done without Uber, without a car, without all the things. But he is on a journey, if you will. And going from verse 22, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. It was probably, if I can use a phrase from last week, it was probably necessary for him to go through each one of those towns. As we read last week, and he must needs go through Samaria. Verse 24, and this fame went throughout, and we have another town, all Syria. And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments. I believe we saw a couple of people this morning tormented, if not by demons, by their own poor decisions. And those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic. We're seeing that in today's day and age, aren't we? I've never seen it, the likes of which it is today. And those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people. And he closes out the chapter listing locations. There followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, and from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. Let's pray. Father, we'd ask you to help us this morning, I plead. There's so much here, Lord. I don't know if it's... I'd just like to think, as a student of the Scriptures, the more you look, the more you reveal to us. And so there's so much in here this morning, Lord, and I won't be able to pull out near as much as is in here. As John said, if we wrote all the things that were contained or that you did in books, the books would not contain them. And so, Lord, let me just pull something out of it to be an exhortation and an encouragement and some edification and maybe even a rebuke and where we're at today this morning. I plead, Holy Spirit, do that which I cannot do. Thank you for all that you do. Lord, and I would ask you again that you'd help those two that we came across this morning. I don't know what their lot in life was and or is, and I know where I was at one time, and I got light, and light helped me in my darkness. So help us this morning. If there's somebody in here that doesn't know you as Savior, if there's somebody that knows you as Savior and their journey ain't quite like your journey, I pray, Lord, that as we as followers would follow you rather than our own free will, if you will. So help us this morning, I plead in Christ's name. Amen. I want to look at something, I guess, you've probably already picked up, and I want to look at something a little different this morning in regards to Scripture or studying Scripture. In recent weeks, I have been looking at what all he says. And I've mentioned that from the pulpit. On Sunday mornings, I'm looking in depth on messages and teachable moments and things like that. And so I've been looking at what all he says and how what all he says can aid me. Specifically, messages he gives, teachable moments that he has. This week, I want to look closer at where all he goes. Now, it's not going to... every place. I mean, great goodness, that'd be a long series. I mean, because he went everywhere. But I want to look at where he goes and what I can learn in my own life from the places that he goes. He said to the disciples, follow me. That wasn't because he was unacquainted with those places. It was because he knew what was going to be in those places, and there was things that he wanted to teach those followers, those disciples, about those places. I want to take a closer look at the aspect of the Lord's journey and the places that he goes during his ministry on earth and ask myself this question, is there something that we can learn from being there? I mean, if last week we said he must needs go through Samaria, then it was pretty important that he had to go through Samaria. What was it that was in Samaria that he had to go through? Now, I realize the people in those places are much more important than the places of those people. But I do believe by looking at the places that those people are in, we can learn some valuable lessons. He goes, I ask myself this question, are those places significant? Can they show me something? Will they leave me an example of some sort as I study them? I've said many times before, and even as of late, that places and things in Scripture mean much more than we may realize and show us more things than we may ever know. I mean, there's a lot of places when you think of them in Scripture that are synonymous with something. How can you not say, and he must, when we think of Samaria, if you're a Bible student and you say Samaria, John chapter 4, you realize what took place. That was significant there. Jacob's well and so many other places. Recently, I'm going to go from the spiritual to the, as they taught me in homiletics, you got to get the front porch to show people the house. So I want to take people from the natural into the spiritual. I'm going to back up a little bit. Recently, I was channel surfing. Does anybody else channel surf? Or what's it's not called channel surfing today because we don't physically turn channels. It's called app binging. What is it? Where you just stream, you're looking through all the streaming things. Wesley, I was over there yesterday and he got one of them live, what is that thing now? It's live TV or whatever. And he doesn't realize that all the things that show up on there he can't watch because he doesn't have the pay for it, but he's scrolling through those things. I was recently channel surfing. For you younger people, just Google that. You'll figure out what the honor day term is for that. I was my parents' remote control. Is anybody else in here, their parents' remote control at one time? There you go. Thank you. I was the one that climbed upstairs out on the roof and turned the... Does anybody remember those days? And somebody from downstairs, all right, you got it right there. And the younger people are looking at me going, what? Yes, you really couldn't just sit there in your chair. You had to be actively involved to watch something on television. And then we don't even want to talk about aluminum foil. Aluminum foil wasn't what YouTubers wear on their head. Aluminum foil is what you put on little metal rods that were on top of your television set. But that's another message for another time. Recently, while channel surfing, I came across a show where folks were basically blindfolded, dropped or driven. These ones were on a bus, big giant bus. They were dropped or driven into a specific location. They didn't know where they were, all while they had to figure out where they were by the clues that were around them. I think Destination X, I think is what it's called. Anyways, the viewer obviously was able to see more, but as well you could watch and you could guess. So Libby and I would sit there and we didn't see all the clues, but you could try and we got to see more than they do. And we would sit back and forth and we'd go, well, I think they're in Paris. You wouldn't get to see the Eiffel Tower, but they do little things off the beaten path. I don't know if I'm the only one that... Well, I watch weird things. I just watch weird things. Amen. And so the viewer obviously was able to see more, but as well you could watch and guess based upon the clues yourself. It intrigued me, and I watched as people tried to guess their location based upon various clues given out while in their surroundings. I said that to say this, when you read Scripture, the same is true. I've said before, when you study your Bible, when I'm in Samaria, I want to be sitting off in the shadows while they encounter each other. I want to smell the terrain. I want to see. I mean, a videographer, isn't part of it to get your viewer to see everything that you see? When we were in Africa and we'd take pictures, I would always say, you'd get there, you'd be there, man. Isn't it? I mean, we were in the big sky country and it wasn't Texas. I mean, it's just, you could see the sun rising while the moon was setting or one or the other. And you'd see, oh, it was just amazing. You'd take these pictures. And I'd get back to the computer and I'd download them on there and you'd open them up and you'd go. I mean, it's nothing like being there. And so, when you read Scripture, the same is true. You want to be able to see the larger photo, if you will. They're not clues to a destination. They're truths to a teachable moment many times concerning that destination. You study out Samaria and what was so important about that woman at the well. I mean, she was basically, for lack of a better term, and I don't know, she was a mixed individual. She was Samarian and Jewish, and it was like Timothy talking to Titus. His dad was Greek and his mom was Jewish, and there came, and we still see that today. There was all the abnormalities and the difficulties and the dysfunctions that come with it. And the disciples wanted to go around the town. Jesus had to go through the town. And then she even has this conversation. Why would you speak to me being a Jew and I'm a Samaritan? And so we have so much about that, but we don't understand it until you understand the destination. And so I want to look at what can be applied to these places that Jesus journeys on to aid us. I mean, if I were to say the garden. Oh, there's so many lessons in the Bible regarding the garden. Or if I were to say Jerusalem, we're looking at Jerusalem, the city, and the gates on Wednesday night. There's so much to be learned there. Or Bethlehem. Wasn't it important in the scriptures? And then there's Egypt. Every time Abraham went into Egypt, he didn't have an altar. Every time he came out of Egypt, he built an altar. There's so many locations that will teach us a lesson, if you will. The one that caught my eye recently was Cana of Galilee. Last week we touched on it. So when looking at and studying locations, you'll find certain things happening at certain places and truths to be found there as well. I do not want to read into what isn't there this morning. I don't want to try and pull something out of there. I don't want to make a pretext out of a context. But I do want to take the context and see if we can find something that can help us this morning. There are no coincidences in God's Word. Each person and place mentioned has a significance. You study out the places. I believe I preached on this one time here. You study out the places in is it 2 Kings 16 or 17, somewhere in there? You have Elijah the prophet, and you have Elisha the prophet, and you have Elijah. Elisha wants to follow Elijah, and Elijah says no, and then he goes on this little journey of four different locations. If you study out the locations and the significance of those locations, it's Timothy training. It's taking them to high terrains and further distances, and it's teaching them certain things. I believe I preached on that one time here. There's no mystery to those. And then you get to that last location, and Elijah's taken up, which is a picture of the rapture of the church, and Elisha's left behind, and so on and so forth, is a picture of the Jewish people. And there's so many stories we can teach this morning. But you study out the places that Elijah took Elisha before he was taken up into the chariot. They were important to the whole and what it was we were to learn from that location in the story, at least in my studies. So as you begin to unpack Jesus' journey as He fulfilled the purpose and work that God had set before Him, I believe there are some, can I call them lessons? I want to call them lessons, Noah, this morning. I believe there's some lessons to be learned that are very important to each and every one of us as believers. If He must needs go through Samaria, where is it that we must needs go to fulfill His will for our life? If I never would have come to Ohio, happy day. If I never would have come to Ohio and I would have met Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ, would He have said to me, "Oh, Michael, I wanted you to go through Ohio. There's so much I wanted to teach you in Ohio. It's not the place. It's the principles that are taught there." I want you to keep that in mind as we study this out. So as you begin to unpack Jesus' journey as He fulfilled the purpose and work that God had set before Him, I believe there are some lessons that we can learn that are important as well. If He must needs go through Samaria, where is it that we must needs go to fulfill His will for our life? Paul said, "I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith." Each one of us has our own course that God has laid before us to fulfill, as I said, all for His glory. Jesus did this. And because of that, all that Jesus did, we can learn from it as well. If that be the case, then I believe we can conclude as well that not only the course we travel is important, but also the place on that course that we are on. I'm sure, Brother Fry, that you would agree with me, there's things that you've learned in Africa that you might not have ever learned before. If you are trying to visually show people places and the need, then you would probably agree with me this morning that seeing things, the eye affecteth the heart, Lamentations, or Jeremiah said that. The eye affects it. What is it that my eye is to be affected by when I look at these places in Scripture? And so this morning, if we can, I want to look a bit more closely. Obviously, when I say this number, you're going to realize it's a series. I want to look more closely at seven specific places mentioned during the course of Jesus' ministry. His journey that I believe are very significant and will as well reveal to us lessons in regards to Jesus' love for us and example to us. With that being said, I want to preach on this thought this morning. Lessons from the journey of Jesus. Lessons from the journey of Jesus. I believe we can learn something from the places that Jesus went. Let's briefly this morning take a trip. A journey, if you will, with Jesus through the Scriptures and see what we can learn from the course that He took and the example He left behind for us. What if He never was taken into the wilderness? What lesson would we lose this morning if we never saw His time in the wilderness? And I'll say this as a way of introduction as well. You'll be taken into your wilderness. Whether you're a mom, whether you're a dad, whether you're a co-worker, Whether you're a sibling, whether you're a Sunday school teacher, whether you're a preacher, whether you're a pastor, whether you're a missionary or whatever, you're going to take your course as well. And people, when he said to Timothy, he said, I've fought a good fight. He's talking to Timothy. Timothy, you've watched what manner of life I've had. You've seen what's been on display in my life. As I take my journey, what are you learning from it? Want to know why a lot of young people aren't in church today? Because they watched older people take their journey and they say, if that's the journey to Jesus, then I don't want to take that one. So let's see what we can learn this morning. I believe it's safe to start at Galilee. I believe it's safe to start there. Here's why. John chapter 2. The Bible says, this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested force of glory. And yes, there are things to be learned at Bethlehem. There are things to be learned at Nazareth. All that stuff. And there was things to be learned about Joseph's time in Egypt. But I want to start where the Bible says Jesus' ministry, His journey ministry began, and that is Galilee. John chapter 2, verse 11. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth His glory, and His disciples believed on Him. Lesson or location number one, the lesson of Galilee. Now you can write these down. You can put them down on the flyleaf of your Bible. I may just cover this first one since I've gone overtime here lately. We'll see what happens this morning. Maybe not. Maybe we'll do all seven of them. I don't know. Lesson number one, or lesson or location number one, the lesson. What's the lesson of Galilee? I wrote this down in parentheses. The lesson of Galilee is His journey to the place of presentation. The journey to the place of presentation. I do realize that Jesus was not born in Galilee. Again, I've already laid that foundation. Nor is this the first place that He made, that I believe that He made important in His ministry. However, He formally did begin the presentation, and that's what I'm trying to highlight about Galilee. He began the presentation of Himself in various ways in Galilee. I wrote down four. Let's look at them real quick about this place called Galilee. Mark chapter 1 and verse 9, the Bible says, and it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth. Again, we're seeing His journey. I mean, He's everywhere. Talk about miles. Brother Fry, how many miles you put on since you've been a missionary? Do you calculate it? Take a guess. What's a lot? Oh, that ain't bad. That ain't bad. Yeah, that ain't bad. I was looking at a video as a motorcycle guy, Brother Mark. I was looking at a video yesterday. A guy had a 2025 Indian, fully loaded everything on it. And he had only had it for 100 days. 102,000 miles on it. He's doing... I was sitting there, I was saying to myself, 102,000 miles in 100 days? Help me, Lord. But he's trying to raise money for awareness for something, and he's traveling all over the world. And I thought to myself, wow, that's some serious journeying. Jesus' journey first was to Galilee. What was the lesson? It was a lesson on the place of presentation. What was it in Mark chapter 1, verse 9? It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? Verse 15, and Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus didn't need to be baptized because he needed to recognize death, burial, and resurrection. It was an example that he was setting for us. And he got baptized in Galilee. And we see the lesson of Galilee, the place of his presentation, first was for conformity, his baptism. Do you know, I've known people, there was a lady that used to come to church here, told me when she was saved, never would join the church. She said she was fearful of getting baptized. And I said, but you trust the Lord. Can I say the next step in obedience to God is baptism? Why? You are conforming to a, he said, I must fulfill all righteousness. For the believer, it is a signification. We have distorted it. We haven't, but many churches have distorted it so much. It is a place where you publicly declare, and it's an outward expression of an inward manifestation. And you go in there to die. You're declaring to everybody else around you, you're conforming to what Jesus Christ did. This is why Jesus says in the garden, not my will, but thine be done. What's that song, Jacob? The steps of Jesus, the steps of Jesus. Oh man, I'm butchering that. Where'er they go? Yeah. What's the whole premise of that song? Where he goes, we're going. What was he doing? He was getting baptized. Some of y'all, when I say things, it's like y'all, it's like I'm talking to a prison or something, man. I sing, try and get songs, and everybody's scratching their head looking at them. It's a hymn book. I might not be giving the best example, but you know it. My goodness. Lesson of Galilee. It was his, what did I say? It was a place of presentation for his conformity. I wrote beside that, his baptism. He must needs fulfill all righteousness. The next step, that lady, I said, why can't, well, a friend of mine drowned when they were younger and I'm afraid of water. What's the testimony you're leaving? For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and of a sound mind. You think God, and then I said this to just kind of be jokey. Well, I'll tell you what, I've been doing this for a couple of years. I ain't never lost anybody. Patty, where's Patty? We almost lost Miss Patty that one time. I don't know if it was her or me. Then there was one in Africa. As soon as I went to dip him down, he fought me, and I just kicked his feet out from underneath me, grabbed him, picked him up. The lesson of Galilee is a place of presentation for conformity. If you've been saved and you've trusted God, then the next declaration you declare is a conformity to God. And what is that? It's baptism. You get baptized after you get saved. You're standing up and you're declaring, I'm dead. Paul said in Galatians 2:20, for I am crucified with Christ. What? Paul wasn't crucified. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2:21 says, for if righteousness cometh by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. It's a public declaration. I'm going to follow Jesus. I've been baptized. What did I say the other night? We win people to the Lord. We wet them. Then we work them. It's a journey everybody must go on. I've met people before and they say, well, I was christened as a child. Okay, you got your forehead wet with a couple drops. That's not baptism. That's not baptism. Baptism is Acts chapter 8. They went down into the water. Why? Because in Romans chapter 6, it is a teaching that we're dead in Christ. We're buried with Him in baptism. As Jesus was dead, buried, and resurrected, well, we could do it, but Jesus didn't want to do it that way because Moses and the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea on dry ground. That is a picture of a baptism. Because the other ones that weren't saved didn't get baptized. They drowned. We get buried with Him in His likeness and we're raised to walk in newness of life. Why? Because Jesus went to the place of presentation, Galilee. Jordan River bordered Galilee. Next, the lesson of Galilee was a place of presentation, not only for conformity, his baptism, but it was for confirmation. Not as some religious institutes consider confirmation, but it's confirming something. What is it confirming? It's confirming his beginning. After we get baptized, boy, teachable moment this morning, isn't it? We get saved, we get baptized, and the next thing we do is what? We begin to minister. We begin to work with other people. We begin to disciple other people. We begin to share with other people what God's done in our lives. We become a member of the body of Christ, and we're extension of that body, and we're a hand, we're a heart, we're a head, we're a shoulder, we're an ear, we're all of those things, and we begin that ministry. That's why when people come to church and they join the church, we look and anticipate, what are they going to do? Who would have ever thought when the Baldwins came here they were going to create a Hannah's Hope ministry? That is an extension of the church. It's giving the Samuels of this world that Hannah dedicates to the Lord or any number of things there. They're giving them hope. There's people that have hope there. It's a ministry. It's a beginning. Here's the verse of Scripture. John chapter 2 and verse 11. This beginning of miracles. We just looked at this last week. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth His glory, and His disciples believed on Him. What was His glory? His glory was to express the Father. And how do you express the Father? Through ministry. Through doing something. It's not, listen, anything that Brother Fry does or Pastor Lovett does or Jacob Cook or Lori or whoever that ministers to other people, we talked about this in leadership yesterday, it's not us. We are becoming a conduit for God to do what He wants to do, where He wants to do it. Can I just say this? We are pawns on God's chess table. That we are supposed to go where He wants to go. He must needs go through Samaria. Whose idea was it for Him to go through Samaria? God the Father, for Him to get glory, because that woman, once Jesus met her at the well, now she gets saved, drops her bucket, goes into town, and she says, come see a man. Now what was taking place before that? Five men, six ones she was with, wasn't her own. Now all of a sudden, watch this, this is what's so unique about it. She goes to town, the very people that didn't want anything to do with her, she starts proclaiming Christ. Doesn't Christ make a difference in our lives when we conform to Him through baptism? When we confirm what He's doing in our life, His beginning. Here's the third one. What's the lesson of Galilee? It is a place of presentation for conformity, His baptism, for confirmation, His beginning. Here's the third one, for coverage, His burden. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 23, and Jesus went about some of Galilee. Doesn't say that. Every word in Scripture has significance. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God, not gender specific, can be thoroughly furnished, perfect unto all good works. What's He doing? What's the lesson we learn in Galilee? It's a place of presentation. His baptism, His beginning, His burden. Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Here's something I noticed this week in my studies. A fact. It is estimated, I wasn't there. I don't know if there was, what's the consensus? They come around and knock on the door, however they do it. It is estimated at the time of Christ, 2,000 square miles belonged to Galilee. That's no cars. I know how many hours. From here to Ocala is 978. Let's say 1,000. This says square miles, so what's that got to be? It's got to be 200 by 10. Who's the math teacher in here? What do you get square? Huh? Is that right? 200 miles this way, 10 miles this way, everything inside of it is 2,000 square miles. 2,000 square miles belong to Galilee with no cars, no bicycles, just walking. Approximately 204 cities with a population of 2 to 3 million people. He spent the majority of His ministry, if you study Scripture, in Galilee. What was this telling us? His coverage. His coverage. How much of 8.5 billion people do you think we're covering with a handful of plaques on the wall? We have people in this church probably saved and don't even participate in missions. What takes a, if I'm not forgetting your story, Brother Fry, you're just a country boy from Pennsylvania, right? Pennsylvania, believe it or not, has country in it. It does. It's not just Pittsburgh. It's not just Youngstown. It is country in it. It's got some good place. I mean, Pennsylvania is a beautiful place. Takes just a plowboy from Pennsylvania. How many countries you been to? What's the burden? What's the burden? That people may know Christ. How does a person get saved, scripturally baptized, start their ministry, and never get any further than when they started? Jesus covers territory. I'm not rebuking anybody when I say this. That woman passing by here this morning, if I would have gotten there before she got to whatever that food stamp or Wix place or whatever it is down there, I would have talked to her just like I did the videographer. Why? Because was it me must needs go through Graham Road this morning? She needed, he needed, everybody needs Christ. There has to be a burden. I said to the leadership meeting yesterday, and I'm not saying this as an insult. Ohio's beautiful. The waterfalls. A preacher in Columbus was wanting to take some time off, and he wanted to come up to the NFL Hall of Fame. I've never been there. And then I started saying, no, Ohio's notorious for, notorious might not be the best word, the waterfalls. There's how many, who's the motorcyclist here? What's the triple nickel? There's all these places that are just absolutely stunning in Ohio. And I told him, I said, come up here and just look at it. And the whole fact of the matter is we should have a burden. Ohio's not my place. I said to the leaders yesterday, it's your place. Why does somebody from somewhere else come and have more of a burden for that location than the people from that location have for it themselves? Is it possible? Is it just possible that you've not learned the lesson of your Galilee? I need to get saved. I need to get baptized. I need to begin my ministry. I've met people before. You've probably met them as well. They come up to you and say, I'll tell you what, when I was your age, I felt like God was burdening my heart for something, and I should have done something, and I never did. And now it's too late. You know what you do? You miss the burden. Is there a family member? Is there a friend? Is there somebody that since you've learned the lesson of Galilee, you can sit there? Jesus covered it all. He went everywhere into every little nook and cranny. He saw people as sheep having no shepherd. How is it today that saved, baptized believers can look around and say, I don't see the need. I don't see the need. The need is everywhere. As one preacher said, when it gets darker, all it takes is a little bit of light. We think it's dark, so we hide in the foxhole of the local church and never get out into the community that we minister to. What's the lesson from Galilee? It is a lesson of conformity, his baptism. It is a lesson of confirmation, his beginning. It is a lesson of coverage, his burden. 2 to 3 million people. And can I say this? Once word gets around that somebody's getting help, you know what's going to happen? Come see a man. Told me all things. I said to the leaders yesterday, it's not Pastor's Lovett's responsibility, nor does it say at the bottom of his paycheck, you are to build the church. We're all supposed to build it. If you've been saved any length of time and you have nobody to show from your salvation, then what kind of salvation do you have? The two lepers, was it 2 Kings 17? They go into the town. They'd already heard all the prophecies of it. I think I'm in the right scripture. And they said basically in a nutshell, when they saw it all, they were lepers. They were dying. But because of the abundance they found, they said, we do not well if we do not tell. They went out to share what they had found with other people. They had a burden. Why do we have all this plenty? Can I tell you why I think our borders are being invaded? Because if we're not going to go to them, then God says, I'm going to bring them to you. And then we're going to face them at the judgment seat of Christ. And he's going to ask us, why didn't you do something when they were sent to you? No, too many of us are paying the journey to Tarshish. And too many of us are being swallowed by a great fish. And all that we have to show for it is a bunch of slime and seaweed hanging off of us while people are dying and going to hell. What's the lesson of Galilee? It is a lesson of conformity for his baptism, confirmation for his beginning, coverage for his burden. Here's the last one. It is a lesson of a place of presentation for collection, his brethren. Matthew 4 and verse 18, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. He was collecting people. What does it say of Michael Lovett to come to Ohio to preach the gospel and never grab men to train them? Brother O'Malley and I talked again about discipleship, Sherpas. He said this statement. I was humbled by the things that he said to me yesterday on the phone. He's usually cutting up with me so much, I walk away feeling like this, you know. It's just how we talk to each other. And he said, I was telling him, Sunday, that Sunday is our 100-year anniversary. I said, Wednesday, 2 days later, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 3 days later, you begin our missions conference, starting our second century. I said, I do not put themes out there. I do not put passages. I've went to places. Do they ever do it to you? And they say, I want you to come. This is what I want you to share. This is a passage of scripture that we have for our missions conference. And you're sitting and you're just, and you know what it is? It's obedience. It's submission. That's what the pastor wants. He knows what he's doing. I'm just going to comply. And I said, I never do this, but Brother O'Malley, I wish you'd really kind of focus on that emphasis. And he just went running with it, man. From his observation, this is what he said. He said, you know, most people, when they do a 100-year anniversary, they focus on buildings. He said, I've watched you in the years you've been there. You didn't focus on buildings. You focused on people. He said, focus on that. Make that the highlight. The church is not the building. The church is the body of Christ. And who am I to come to Ohio and never find brethren? Never find people. I've never had what these Timothy guys have. Never had it. Never pulled them to the side. Teachable moments. They'll come to me sometimes. Man, I don't want to bother you. I thrive on these moments that I can take something from my life, pour it into your life, and help you not make the same mistakes I made, not get in the same ditches I got into, not fall into the same pitfalls I went into. If my journey can help, isn't that what parenting is? Isn't it? Didn't Paul tell Timothy he called him his son in the faith? Ask yourself this question. In your Galilee, how many people have you? You know why the church is failing today? Because we've lost the concept of discipleship. Pouring your life into somebody else's life so they can continue to pass the torch. What's the lesson from Galilee? It's a place of presentation. For conformity is baptism. Have you been baptized this morning? Do you even believe in God? If you do, you'll be baptized. You'll demonstrate to other people, I've given my life to Christ. I'm dead now. And Sam, I baptized you, didn't I? And you know what that meant? You declared to everybody else, where He leads me, I will go. I will follow the footsteps of Jesus. You're praying already for to go to. Now, it's lens of the harvest. Are you tied in somehow with, is it some seed of the harvest? Two different things? Is there some copyright infringements going on there? We need to get you a lawyer to get that stuff figured out. Anyways, hopefully there won't be any conflict here. You've been to the See the Harvest thing, right? Is that what it's called? It's separate. But you're trying and praying about going back because you saw something. The eye affected the heart. And then you've come and talked to me about that. You want to make sure. I've told Joe many times, Joe, you can do the right thing in the wrong place. You got to make sure you're in the right place at the right time. Because watch this. If you're Abraham sacrificing your son and there's a whole mountain range while you're walking, you better stay close to God because not every mountain has a ram on it to sacrifice in place of, I fasted, I prayed. I don't know if I prayed enough. Ohio, Lord? Ohio? That's Yankee as Yankee gets, man. In Cleveland area? It's for collection. Let me ask you this and we're done. What can we learn from the first place in Jesus' journey? It is that all of us must make a trip through our own Galilee. Have you been to Galilee? Thinking of so many songs and the stories that are told. Are you saved this morning? If you're saved, have you been scripturally baptized? If you've been scripturally baptized, where are you serving? Where are you serving? Where is it that you've begun your ministry? I told them all in leadership yesterday, the nursery, the usher, the custodian, I mean, there's every aspect of ministry, every aspect of it is helping. It's showing somebody that you care. The parking lot, I mean, the cleaning the windows. If you ever went to the hospital before and you get in there and the elevators are all nasty and you look around and there's fudge everywhere. You ever went to a restaurant and you sit there and think, boy, they don't think very well of this. It's the same thing for us. You need to begin to minister. Where can I minister? It's the old, I told my kids this when I watched that cartoon, The Robots. And that little robot, I don't know what his name is, he used to say, see the need? fill the need. Surely you must be able to sit around and see a need. Surely must you be able to say, you know, Lord, I want you to work in my life. I've told the Timothy guys this. You've learned homiletics. You've gotten in a pulpit. You've sat down and done so many things. I said, now start a ministry. Start one. Just birth one. And feel what it feels. Doesn't it feel good to serve people, Emily? Doesn't it feel good to organize an event for Hannah's Hope, see people come, see people blessed, see people walk away and say, thank you so much. I was here, I was there, I was needing this, I was needing that. And you walk away, and not because you pat yourself on your back, because you sit there and you go, I know what I was, and I know what I focused on. And now God has taken me through this journey, and He's taught me this, and now I minister to other people. I'm a conduit for God Almighty to manifest His glory and show other people what He's capable of. Next week, we'll look at Gennesaret. Let's all stand to our feet. Where's your Galilee? Where's your Galilee? Where's your burden? Where's your bread? Are you trying to make disciples that are like yourself? Or are you trying to make disciples that are like God? I want to see. I told Joe, I've had a lot of conversations with Joe. And I heard a preacher say this one time, you are not a success until you make somebody else a success. Because if it's just you, it stops with you. You are an extension of what God's done in your dad's and mom's life. Let that weigh on you for a while. You are an extension of what God's done in your mom and dad's life in that local church. And what is it going to say of them later on with what you do? Oh, you're a Christian? Is that what Christ looks like? You know why the world's having such a hard time coming to Christ today? Because we don't reflect the glory of God. Father, we'd ask you to help us this morning. We see so much from Galilee, so much that can still be learned from Galilee. Help us, Lord, to learn the lessons that Jesus is trying to teach His disciples and us today as His disciples through Scripture. Lord, if there's somebody in here that doesn't know you as Savior, I pray you'd speak to them this morning. There's somebody in here that hasn't joined a local church, hasn't been scripturally baptized, isn't even involved in ministry, doesn't have an extension of God in his life or her life where they're helping somebody else come to know Jesus Christ. And they are not training other people behind them, Lord. I pray that you'd move on their heart today. Help each and every one of us learn even more the lessons that Jesus was leaving us in his journey through Galilee. Touch us, I plead. Move us in this invitation to draw closer to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Miss Sam.